Yes. This is Mark Snyder. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Mark. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Jane. How are you?
Good.
Good. Joining us right now, of course, is Jane Seymour. You know her and love her from things like the great Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, but many, many other things. You've been acting for a long time, and were honored by the British Empire, and have Emmys and Golden Globes, the whole deal. But right now you're here to talk about something that's going to be on Trio on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. It's called the Epic TV, the Top 10 Miniseries of All Time. Are you a miniseries fan yourself?
Well, yes, for many reasons. I mean, obviously, like everyone else, I loved watching them. But I got to star in so many of them. I mean, I did Captains and the Kings, Seventh Avenue, East of Eden, War and Remembrance. I can go on and on. I think at one point they kind of dubbed me the Queen of the Miniseries because I did so many of them.
Now, any of your miniseries in the top 10?
Awakening Land. The sort of sister one to War and Remembrance is in there.
The Winds of War. Yeah.
But, you know, I think in some ways, I don't know, War and Remembrance, I think, was even more powerful. I think those a lot of people who were voting probably hadn't seen it.
So you should have talked to these people when you said you'll host it. You'll say, hey, wait a second, excuse me. You got to change number six.
You know what? They make special mention of War and Remembrance, and, you know, so it is referred to, but, you know, there were some great miniseries. There were, you know, there's a lot of major competition there.
Yeah, I think for most of us stateside, that the Roots really was the beginning. I sat through that whole thing, and remember that, you know, LeVar Burton and all the people in it are still close to my heart from that particular show.
I think the great thing about the miniseries, and what's different about today, is that it was beyond watching a movie. You know, when you watch a movie, it began and it ended, and to some degree you could invest in that person, whoever the characters were. But when you did a miniseries, or when you acted in a miniseries, you had this unique opportunity to play this character for quite a long time and to really develop that character slowly but surely through their lives. Mm. And, you know, these sagas were amazing, and I miss them. I really do.
I must say the only one that I watched besides Roots was Holocaust.
Oh, I know. Wasn't that fantastic?
And I still, Michael Moriarty, every time I see him, I still hate him from that movie. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, Holocaust was amazing. I mean, War and Remembrance was amazing, if anyone hasn't seen it. It's what was great about those, I think, is it's a great way to, you know, being entertained, but being able to really catch up on a huge, brilliant book, and at the same time have it sort of fleshed out and really understand World War II, but through the eyes of an American family. I think that was what was so great about it.
Mm. Now, are some of these things on video now?
I think some of them are, but I know that Trio is going to be showing Shogun, Holocaust, and Brideshead Revisited after they do this, what I'm doing, which is the top 10 miniseries of all time. So I think a lot of these you can get. You can certainly get War and Remembrance on DVD and video, so I'm sure you can get the other ones. Must
do. Do you ever have a chance to sit and watch it again?
I haven't had time to do it yet, actually.
Now, I know you have twins, right?
I have six children. I have twin almost eight-year-olds.
Yeah.
So I'm spending most of my time telling them they can't watch TV and they have to learn how to read and write, it's kind of hard. And then I have a high schooler here who's taking his SATs and trying to get into college, Sean. And then I have three kids who graduated from college and are trying to get jobs.
Well, I just remember reading about the twins.
Yes, yeah. I know. The twins are amazing. And I think, you know, the fact I had them so late in life and that they were so hard to have. And, you know, that's why so many people know about them.
And you're married to someone we all know, James Keach.
James Keach, who's a wonderful director and an actor in his own right. And, a very busy life.
Well, you've done a lot of things besides TV and movies and all this stuff. In fact, earlier this year you released a book called Remarkable Changes.
That's right. I wrote, that's my third major book. Remarkable Changes is all about how I've noticed in my life that whenever there was some major adversity or something that devastating that happened, that out of it came an opportunity that was so much better than what would have happened if the bad thing hadn't happened in the first place. And so really it's a book to kind of encourage people who are going through really tough times that somehow if you can weather through it, that, you know, an extraordinary opportunity, if your heart is open and your mind is open, wide open, will occur. And I wrote not just about my experience, but 20 other people's experiences, men and women from all different walks of life and different nationalities. And it was really a fun book to write. It was great because I was able to talk about, well, my mother who survived a concentration camp, a girlfriend of mine who went blind from diabetes, someone else I know who lost a child in a very tragic accident. You know, obviously Christopher Reeve is a great inspiration in, you know, in this genre, and he wrote the foreword. So it's a great book if you have a chance to get it.
And, of course, you know, when my wife and I, when we had our children, there was a couple of books out there that to really help us what to expect and, you know, and things like that. But you actually wrote a book for folks who are expecting multiple births.
So many people are having multiple births now, thanks to, you know, modern medical technology. And nobody tells you anything about it. This is like a half a page in a regular pregnancy book saying, and by the way, it's completely different when you have twins. And so I really was completely different having twins. And so what I decided to do was to write a book, not just from the medical aspects and the practical aspects, but also the emotional aspect of what it's like to go through a twin pregnancy. And my husband also wrote about what it's like to be married to someone who's going through a twin pregnancy. So it's a terrific book. It's called Two at a Time, A Journey Through Twin Pregnancy. And
that's available still in the stores.
That's available. We have five children's books, this one and that one, about the Malibu cats who live in California, which is basically our family. And the twin kittens, this one and that one, are John and Chris, my twins. And we've done that, and now there's a whole children's line of clothing at all the Saks Incorporated stores, like Carson Perry, Scott, McCrae's, Parisians, Prophets, and all that. Or you can go on the internet to janeseymour.com. And I did a home collection for them, and I'm also painting. I've been having a major art exhibitions all over the country. So I've been, part of the reason I wrote the book Remarkable Changes was to point out that, you know, when they decided to do reality television rather than miniseries and movies of the week, you know, they cut them out. I mean, they now make less than a third of the movies and miniseries that they used to make. It actually gave me the opportunity to do some other things that I've always loved doing. And so, you know, rather than sitting back and begrudging the fact that they're not making as many movies and miniseries, I've had the opportunity to design and paint and do some other things that I love and write.
Well, you have to get those creative juices keep going, because otherwise they get bottled up and you need to get them out there.
Well, and I'm also hoping that with a show like this, and you know, Trio is then going to, after this happens on Wednesday night, and then afterwards they're going to show Shogun, Holocaust, and Brideshead, you know, that maybe people of this generation will say, gosh, you know, wouldn't that be great to see these kind of shows again? And, you know, our world is very busy. A lot of people don't have time to read some of these great novels, but they do have time to sit and watch television. And it would be nice to have, you know, more intelligent television out there, I think.
Talk about intelligent television that people appreciate. Dr. Quinn was a great series, and in fact, when they did a TV movie for it, it did incredibly well on the ratings. Do you keep in touch with some of the folks from the cast?
I do. You know, the sad thing about Dr. Quinn is that, you as you so pointed out so well, it was still a hit. It was a huge hit when it was canceled, and no one could understand it. And when we came back and did those two movies, they did incredibly well. Yes, I still keep very much in touch with Joe Lando, my co-star, and Brandon Douglas, and Janelle Allen, and you know, quite a lot of those people. And there's a wonderful sort of fan club for it called the DQ Times. They have a whole website there. And if you go to janeseymour.com, you can find it.
Well, it's interesting because we had Joe Lando on our show here.
Oh, you did?
And, yeah, it was a while ago. It was probably like 2 years ago. And when Joe came on, all these fan clubs sent all this information out about the interview. And that interview actually was one of the top five we did of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very active, very vocal and active fan club.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I have a fan club as well called Friends of Jane. And the reason it's not called Jane Seymour is because somebody stole my name, and I've been fighting for years to get it back. So yes, these fan clubs are amazing. And in fact, if I want to know what I am doing, it's easier for me to go on my internet and to my website and to janeseymour.com, and I can find out right away what art shows I have coming up, what personal appearances I have coming up, what I've done on television, what's coming up that's going to be on TV. you know, where my movies are going to be playing. I mean, they know more about me than I do.
It's like a big organizer for you.
It's fantastic. and obviously, I give them information, too. So,
sure.
But, you know, it is amazing what the Internet will do. And
what we're going to do is we'll be posting this interview at pmpnetwork.com, and we'll put a link to janeseymour.com.
Great. Well,
so
then
that folks
people can
hear
see
it.
The other things that I'm up to. And Christmas is coming, and, you know, you can go shopping online.
There you go. Now, what are you selling?
I have women's clothing with a crossing point. Very affordable, really beautiful. The quality is 10 times better than anyone ever imagines it to be.
Do you have a dressing room on site?
No, but you can go. They have. I think you can. You can see what it would look like on you, on your size. I mean,
really
clever. And then the new venture, which I'm really excited about, is Saks Fifth Avenue and Saks Incorporated. I'm in about 200 or 300 stores, like Macrae's, Profits, Parisians. Carson Perry Scott, those kind of stores. But if you go on the internet and Jane Seymour Home, you'll see a whole collection of home accessories, about 600 or 700 pieces, based on my home in England, which is over 1,000 years old. And then there's a whole children's line based on our books, this one and that one, for newborns up till 7 years old. And I believe, again, you can you take down, you know, whatever the information is on the piece that you like, and then you call a 1-800 number there. So it's not an internet transaction, but
mm-hmm.
but you can buy it and see it there if you're not in the area that has the shops.
That's interesting. Now you still have a home in England. It's an old home, right?
Oh, it's over 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
And I'll be there for Christmas, yes.
That's nice.
And on the site as well, you know, people can rent the house and go and stay there if they want to do a special family occasion or whatever.
Really? You rent your home out, huh?
We rent it when we're not there, and we don't take any of the money. The money goes towards the upkeep of the house. So it's kind of like people who go there are also supporting, like we do, this amazingly beautiful historical place. And it's a wonderful place to visit, and as I said, I've inspired this home collection. I also do a lot of my artwork there. I paint there a great deal. And it's just it's very inspirational. We have our own church. It was built in 1260, but the house dates back to 950. And when Americans come there, they're just astounded because they can't believe that the house is, parts of it are older. They were four times older than their country.
Wow.
It's like, you know,
it's amazing.
Put everything in perspective, you know.
Yeah. Talking about perspective, you have such a successful career and so many wonderful things happening around your life, and you show your appreciation. You get quite involved in charitable causes. Tell me about a few of them that you're involved in.
Well, I'm on the celebrity cabinet for the American Red Cross, and so my special consideration there, what I work on, is the measles initiative in Africa. Basically, measles is the number one avoidable cause of death in Africa, and millions of children die from it every year, you know, needlessly. And through this initiative, by 2005, we will have wiped out measles in Africa. And I went to Africa with my kids recently to watch what they did. And in 1 week, the American Red Cross, the Red Crescent Society, UNICEF, all of the agencies, basically, they all got together. And with the volunteers from the Red Cross, they were able to bring 14 million children together to be vaccinated in 1 week.
Mm.
So it's extraordinary when you see the good things that are done in the world, especially when really all you see on television is in the news is how we're slaughtering people, or we're part of watching people slaughter one another around the world. It's fantastic when you see what people are doing to make a difference.
Well, I see that most of the stuff that you do, in fact, from what I can see, all of it, from Child Help USA to City Hearts to J&J Foundation, they're all pretty much to benefit children.
Well, you know, I also work with Christopher Reeve Foundation to help, you know, people who are dealing with spinal problems and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly I've decided to stick to things that I know and that I really think you can make a huge difference with. I think if you change the lives of children, they'll pass it on, they'll pass it forward. I think if you give kids a decent education in third world countries, if you give the money to the women who are raising the children to do their, you know, make their own businesses and to create opportunities for the future, they will feed the children. It's, for some reason, mothers and kids seem to be making the difference.
I
just think it's a good investment. I just think, you know, children are helpless.
Right.
You know, adults can do something to some degree, but the kids are completely helpless, and most people would like to give money to stray animals before they give money to children or mm-hmm. human beings.
Well, as a, when you're a father and as you are a mother, it's close to the heart. You know, talking about close to the heart, for many, one of the fine romantic films, you just mentioned Christopher Reeve, the movie Somewhere in Time. Tell us a little bit about how you got to know him, and obviously you're still involved in his cause. What was it like when he went through all this, and were you close to him at that point as well?
I was probably, of all the people I've ever worked with, apart from, you know, Joe Lando, who I did Dr. Quinn with for 7 years, Christopher Reeve and I just really developed a very close bond, and we've always been in touch. We've always been friends, very close friends. And when the accident happened, I was as devastated as everyone else, but I'm very frustrated because I couldn't get a hold of him. And ultimately, when I did, I asked him what I could do to help him, and he said, "Help me with my cause." And to me, he's just an inspirational person, because he is not just, you know, trying to help people who have spinal injuries. He's really changing the world of medicine. I mean, he's fighting for stem cell research, which is huge, which will benefit people in so many different ways. And you know, he can't move very much. He can move a little. And he was told, you know, when this accident happened, that there was no hope for him at all. And I think he's completely disproved this. So he's now breathing without a track. You know, he can breathe by himself, and he has shown that he actually can move parts of his body, and he, you know, will find a cure. I know it. He's just an extraordinary man.
Hmm.
And we've actually developed a movie that we're hoping to make with him sometime next year. So I'm hoping to be reunited with him on screen, and that's what I've been working on recently.
Now, anything else we can see you in terms of movies, TV?
I did a movie called Touching Wild Horses that's been winning awards all around the country at film festivals, and I believe is going to be released in some areas as a feature, you know, in the theaters. But I'm sure as soon as that's happened, it will be released on video. I'm told you can also already get it on video, probably through the internet, from Canada, where it has been released. It's a wonderful movie. I'm very proud of it.
Wow.
I'm about to shoot a movie early next year for Court TV, a true story about a woman who was a juror and who saw, you know, a mistrial happen while she was on the jury. And she was a timid woman who didn't really stick up for herself until she realized that she'd been bullied and pushed into a decision that she never made. And she kind of changed, you know, the course of history there in terms of how a jury trial went, because she fought it and actually won.
Like many actresses, are you vocal in political views? Do you get involved in English politics or American politics at all?
I steer completely clear of politics. My belief is, I think it's very important to vote. However, because I'm British and not American, I can't as yet vote in America. And I should probably get around to becoming a citizen. But the Queen just a couple of years ago gave me a major honor in Britain, the Order of the Knighthood, the OBE, the Officer of the British Empire. So I've sort of maintained my British citizenship. But I tend to feel that the actors are pretty persuasive, because people see us on TV and they feel they know us. And I really would like to speak about things that I feel I know about, or things that I, you know, have hands-on seen. So, for example, I would rather fight for the rights of child abuse, you know, stopping child abuse, which is something I know about, and an agency that I work with, or a program to bring the arts back to kids in inner cities, or programs like, you know, with the American Red Cross, supporting what they're doing and what they're doing in Africa, because I've been there, I've seen it, I know what needs to happen. So I choose not to be political in the traditional way, but I choose to be an activist for specific causes. And I have friends in Washington who, you know, including I've met, you know, all the presidents. I know them all.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people there that I can talk to, and I do talk to about specific causes, but I don't, I'm not aligned to any particular party. And I kind of feel the same way spiritually, to be honest. I'm not aligned to any specific church. I do believe in a spiritual connection, and I do believe in God, and I do believe in trying to make the world better for people and helping people aspire to doing their best whilst they're here. You know, and
were you raised with any particular religion?
No, I was actually raised that way, to really respect all religions and to find my own religion for myself. So I was actually exposed to all religions, and I've exposed my children to all religions. And part of me wishes that we could do that with all the kids in the world right now, especially American kids who don't travel as, you know, very much and maybe don't know too much about, you know, the reality of other religions, the pure essence of their religion, rather than the aberration which is causing wars all over the world.
That's very interesting stuff. I appreciate your point of view, and also commend you for not getting in the Sean Penn realm of things. I think that some people do overstep their bounds.
I think that you can be an activist on causes. You know, if there's something that's happening in the government today, things that you're not happy about, find something that you can make a difference with. You know, find a way to actually educate people so that they can make choices, so they can actually vote for the people that they feel are doing the right thing. I mean, my real problem with politics is that money is involved. It seems to be, you know, primarily about who can raise the most money gets to win the election.
Mm.
And then who gave them that money is obviously listened to first. And I think if you could take that element out of it, then, you know, I'd be more inspired by politics. And meanwhile, I am very inspired by people like General Colin Powell, who I had privilege of meeting, who said that, you know, it's about taking care of the people that you see right next door to you.
Well, I agree with your assessment.
If everybody actually took charge of what they actually could do to the person that's very close to them, we wouldn't have the problems we have today.
I agree with you. And folks, if you want to see the lovely Jane Seymour, not only lovely but intelligent, as you can hear, you can see her Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on Trio Cable Network with Epic TV, the top 10 miniseries of all time. And we look forward to seeing the movies and all the other things you come out with, and, of course, the artwork. And we'll send folks over to janeseymour.com.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.